Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We've been looking forward to talking to this guy, Tim Jenkins. Indeed, you can follow him on X at TJenkinsElite. He is the founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite. He joins us weekly here on Rahimi Harrison Grody. Layla has the day off today. And Tim joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Tim, what's going on, man? Thanks for being on The Score with us as usual.
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
We are doing well. And Marshall and I pretty much agreed that if it wasn't his best performance, Caleb Williams against Cleveland, it was our favorite Caleb Williams performance this year. Where does it stack up for you relative to his other games this year?
Yeah. I mean, super efficient, right? I think we kind of, coming out of the Packers game, you started to worry a little bit, I think, yeah. Right? I think we all were kind of like, oh, okay, hey. You know, can we get back on track? And I think that's exactly what they did. It was a well-designed game plan. I think it was really efficient from his operation of the offense. My favorite part about it is, you know, and again, I know he made a spectacular throw on that boot where then, you know, he puts it to DJ in the back. And I know he made some good, you know, plays extending it in the boot game, but really not a ton of quote unquote scramble situations, more playing on time, playing within structure of the offense, which to me, I think was the biggest sort of thing I was looking for was, hey, can we get back on track playing within the structure of our offense? And he did just that. He scrambled when needed. He picked up one big first down with his legs. And to me, everything else was efficient from the pocket on time. I thought it looked really good.
Tim, going back to the beginning of the game, we talked about getting him off to faster, better starts. What I noticed is they did have that boot action throughout, but especially early in the game, that first incomplete pass to Cole Kmet. Do you feel like Ben Johnson there is trying to get him into the most comfortable position just to find a way to get a completed pass early in the game? Is that how you read that?
Yeah, I think you're on it, right? I think they're trying to figure out, hey, what are our game starters? What are our drive starters? To me, it's always been those kind of go hand in hand, right? Your first 10 and then, you know, your P and 10 after that, right? Possession and 10. Hey, our first and 10, what do we go to get our offense, our feet moving forward? You know, I do think, right, you're on to it a little bit with in terms of, hey, can we get some easy ones in the boot game? You know, can we get something out to the flat? Simultaneously, man, it does seem like Caleb comes alive when we get into a little bit heavier. We go 12 or 13 personnel, and we go run action and just fire this thing down the field. So, shoot, maybe that's how we got to start opening some of these games is let's go run action, shot, play out of the gate, and see how the kid responds.
As for that 22-yard pass to DJ Moore in the back of the end zone, Tim Jenkins, what did it look like through your eyes and your analysis?
See, I love it because, to me, DJ's not really in the progression. And I say that not in a negative way. I say that in, you know, you've got anytime you're reading a boot concept, you're going to have some sort of flat control guy near the line of scrimmage. You'll have some sort of overrunner about 10 yards past the line of scrimmage. And then you'll have an ultra high or a runoff, somebody deep, right? You'll always have that. And then depending on how the coordinator is, some guys install it as a ladder read, which is like you're climbing up a ladder, right? Short to deep. And then other guys are reverse ladder guys, right? Hey, deep to short. For me, though, what don't you hear about? You don't hear about that backside post, that backside chase route, which is what DJ was on, but you always alert that as a quarterback. Like, if you ever get to a situation where you go, hey, 1, 2, 3 aren't there, man, I got to alert my chase, see if this guy's here before I go run this thing. What's funny about the boot play is, you know, our ultra high runner, that deep guy, he kind of gets held up, you know, a really good kind of reroute press. He gets held up. The overrunner, because of that, basically has 4 guys around him because our spacing's off. And then Komet gets taken down, so we don't have a flat. So really Caleb's out there like, okay, hey, I don't have 1, 2, or 3 because none of them are in the right spot. Let me get back to my alert chase post. And then, so to me, I'm most excited about the process that got him to DJ. With that being said, Caleb is one of the only people playing right now in the National Football League, right? Like him and Josh and probably Mahomes and, you know, maybe Stafford if it was within the pocket and not out of the pocket. But there are very few guys that could actually then pull the trigger and complete it. So to me, the process getting there shows tremendous growth in his football IQ. Then, of course, the ability to make that throw is like why you take him first overall. And that's what I think culminating in such a memorable play. And I know a lot of fans are just excited about the throw, but to me, it's like knowing that the process was good to then get there, that might be even bigger. The throw, of course, was about as special as it's going to get this season.
I love what you brought up, the process stuff and the football IQ and all of that, because that's what we wanted to see from Caleb Williams's predecessors, ultimately brought down Justin Fields and even Mitch Trubisky because of their inability to see the whole field and cutting the field in half and all that. So that's huge what you're saying right there. The other part is, and you're right, you mentioned I'm not sure we're missing somebody in terms of who could have possibly made that throw. Where do we go now? Is he now empowered? Like, you got to be careful because you can't make those throws every time, right? Depending on the circumstance. So how do you handle that going forward? I don't know if this is like a change in the trajectory of like in what he thinks he can get away with in his mind, but isn't it also a little bit dangerous to him?
Yeah, you could have another smoking Jay, right?
Yeah,
I think, like, honestly, and this is a terrible answer, but I just think it's the same way you parent a kid, right? You give them freedom. Oh, they took advantage of it. All right, we bring the reins back a little bit. Uh-huh. It's a push-pull with these guys that are super talented, and you have to – it's a high-wire act, right? You got to consistently coach up, know the situation. Okay, hey, what's our situation here? What's the scoreboard telling us? You know, do we have a chance to make this throw, or do we need these 3 points? There's all these things that – he's going to have to factor in, and it's just constant football IQ growth, right? That's all it is. I think if there's anything I could tell you I could sign off on, it's that we're seeing that within the staff. So to me, it's, does it enable him to push the envelope? Of course, right? It does, right? It's, be who you can afford to be, and he can afford to be, you know, a little bit aggressive with the football. With that being said, it's also part of what makes him the ceiling that he has, right? You got to be honest about it. If he couldn't make that throw, then he probably also can't make that Luther Burden throw where he's running basically a 25-yard deep hank route. I've never seen the concept before. They put it in this week, and then he drills that. So to me, it's like, you know, it's the good and the bad with it. It's just going to be constant feedbacks, constant coaching, constant growth in the football IQ to make sure it doesn't go crazy, go off the rails. But I'll tell you right now, it feels like he hasn't been putting the ball in harm's way, not in good situations. Like, it does feel like he's starting to learn, okay, hey, I can put the ball in harm's way a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
I can be aggressive here, which to me is, that's the growth we've wanted to see, like you said earlier.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch the development, and you've had such a keen eye since day one of him. We heard Ben Johnson earlier today talk about him being so good at the pre-snap, at the cadence, the things that he had to learn, frankly, this season. Does it feel to you like he's kind of to the end of this arc for season number one, and now it's just like, all right, what can you go do on game day? And then you work on maybe the major stuff in the offseason. I mean, I'm trying to figure out what the ceiling is for this team in this conference this year.
Yeah, that's such a good point because, yeah, there are definitely things that it's, hey, this is addressable in the offseason versus addressable in season. What I tell you though is, do I feel like he's at the end of his arc? That's such a good question. My gut would tell you no, only because I still feel like there are concepts where he'll bail on him or his eyes are potentially in the wrong spot. Again, it's always fun, and I really do like the long form. You know, my wife loves it because I get to just sit in my office and talk to myself for an hour, so she doesn't have to deal with it. But what I'll tell you is, what I do love most about the long form film breakdowns is because you can sit there and you can explain, like, hey, here's how I've read it. With that being said, I have no idea what Ben's saying. Here's another way you could look at this. So from my perception, my interpretation of the film, he still has his eyes in the wrong spot at times, right? You know, not nearly what it was at the beginning of the season. So I do think there's still cleanup. I think there's cleanup in the protection. There's all sorts of stuff where, hey, we're going to mic somebody else, so we're going to slide our line to have better angles, have a better advantage. So I do think there's still growth potential. With that being said, yes, the major lifts are going to happen in the offseason. I think we're close to what this team could and should be going into the playoffs. This week will be huge. This week will be huge. If they can bounce back and get this one, because I feel like when you really looked at that Packers tape deep, man, there were some missed opportunities. If they can clean that up and take advantage of it, and if they can put this division away more or less this week, look out, because I do think this team's starting to roll. I'm hesitant to say like a full sign off, because I do think the Browns are one of those teams that the Bears did exactly what good teams should do, which is they showed up and they punished a bad team from start to finish versus letting them hang around and think they have a chance. With that being said, it still was the Browns. We still need to show up, I think, against the Packers, a more quality opponent, and play this sort of complete game from the offensive side of it. I think the Packers are going to be hard to slow down on defense no matter what you do. I think, you know, you saw it in Denver this week, right? I think that Denver team has a good defense and the Packers were able to generate some points. But I do think this offense can come back and have a much bigger impact on the game than they had, you know, just a week ago.
Yeah, well, let's stay right there. You're right. The Packers were able to put up some points on Denver. We know what they did to the Bears the week before. Where is Jordan Love right now in your evaluation? Because obviously he killed the Bears with the explosives in that round one game, if you will, against the Packers at Lambeau.
Yeah, Jordan Love. So here's and I'm gonna wash myself because I know everybody hates Green Bay that's listening to this. But what
I asked
will
the
say
question,
Jordan,
so it's on me, buddy. Don't worry about it.
What I will say is Jordan Love is what I think. So how many times have you seen, all right, hey, the Bear, it's 3rd and 8, Bears are lined up, a bunch of guys at the line of scrimmage, we're going to go cover 1, cover 0. Guess what? Jordan Love retreats, knows exactly where his over route's going to be. They complete it, and you go, we just went from 3rd and 8 or 3rd and 12 to a 1st down, and you're pulling your hair out, right? That's happened a bunch. That's what Caleb is going to grow into. Mm. Jordan Love is in what year? I don't even know at this point with LaFleur.
5?
Right?
Yeah.
This, to me, is what then Caleb and Ben are going to grow into. Caleb's already doing that, but just imagine a couple more years of growth where, oh, I know exactly where I'm going with this thing on 0, or exactly how to manipulate this matchup on 1. So Jordan Love, yes, to me, is playing at an extremely high level. With that being said, I just think you have a talented kid. He's football competent. And he's paired with an offensive guy. That's exactly what I think Caleb now has. Do I think Caleb has more high-end arm potential than Jordan? I do, obviously. With that being said, Jordan has done an extremely good job against pressure. I think he's done a really good job in big moments. And that's what we want to see from Caleb. So to me, it's, you know, that's what the danger with Green Bay is that it feels like it's a ton of body shots, body shots, body shots. And then it feels like when they have an explosive available to them, they generate it. And that's where I think Caleb hasn't been perfect with his explosive opportunities. Those are getting better. Once he gets to being perfect, this Bears team is, man, they're rolling once we get to where we're perfect in the explosives. And again, Jordan's not perfect, right? There's still plays on tape where, oh, shoot, hey, you should have been here. But he's obviously 3 or 4 years into this thing, whereas Caleb's still in year one with Ben.
Yeah, it is year 3 of him as a starter, Jordan Love in Green Bay. We're joined by Tim Jenkins, as we are each and every Tuesday, the founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite. And don't forget, you can watch Tim's full Caleb Williams breakdown video on his YouTube channel. That's at All Things QB. Okay, so we talk a lot about Caleb when we talk with you. I'm so curious as to what you think of the development specifically of these rookie pass catchers, whether it is Luther Burden III, who has come on strong, especially with Roma Dunze now being out indefinitely, and of course, Colston Loveland as both a blocker and a pass catcher. What do you make of the two rookies' development so far?
I mean, you can't be more fired up about the Loveland kid. He puts Myles Garrett on his tail, right? Like, that's a great chip. So to me, it's, you know, Loveland, I think, does a great job. I think he adds in the run and the pass game. He's obviously a huge threat. What I'll tell you about Luther, man, is he's got some juice after the catch.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I hate equating him to a teammate, but, like, he's got some DJ Moore-level wiggle to him where it feels like, you know, hey, you get the ball and it feels like we got 10 or 15 extra or 5 extra in the screen game or whatever it is. So I really like him. What I will say, and you know, you always sit there and you say, man, you never want to see someone out of a ball game, right? You never want to see someone hurt. I will say it was nice to see DJ and Luther get targeted more with Roma out, because I do think those guys are pretty dang awesome and pretty dang explosive. It'll be interesting to see how we get these targets going into the playoffs, how we can get these targets right in terms of touches. And not because I think anyone's selfish, because I really don't. When I watch the film, they're all excited for each other. Just in terms of, you want these guys to get touches. Like, you want, to me, I want DJ Moore to touch the ball 8 times, right? How are we going to get it to him? Whether it's in the backfield, in the screen game, down the field. But you want him to touch the ball a bunch because he's an explosive football player. So it's not necessarily from an ego standpoint. It's more from, hey, you know, can we get these guys in the game? But, you know, Luther, I think, has been pretty dang impressive in terms of not only his route ability, but what he's doing after the catch, especially lately. It just feels like, man, they get the ball in his hands and positive things happen. So to me, that's been exciting. And then I think the Loveland kid, you know, I've never been as hard on Komet as I think some people have. I've always thought Komet and Cole did a pretty good job. The Loveland kid is... He's the real deal, man. Mm. He's, you know, I don't know if you guys watched the game last night, but the Waller, right? You know, and again, it was a blowout, but Waller sitting there making some plays. That's who I think Loveland can end up being with a few more years with a guy like Ben Johnson teaching him, hey, here's the exactness we want you to run routes with. I think if he can get there, he's just so physically imposing like the Waller kid that all of a sudden you sit there and you go, man, we've got some dynamic one-on-one shots we could dial up in the red zone as he gets more and more comfortable with Caleb.
How about the Warren kid? You think that he's going to be better than Tyler Warren of the Indianapolis Colts?
Oh, man, yeah. I think it's interesting. You see Philip Rivers was loving him, though. I don't know if you guys saw that, but Grandpa was firing into him early. And I got to tell you guys.
That's your best friend, right?
That was the one storyline for me this week where it's like, it's funny because the Colts have been a good ball club, and but I don't know if I've been, like, eager to watch them play. Man, I could tell you right now, on my Sunday ticket or whatever it is, I was sitting there watching the start of that Colts game because I was like, man, I wonder how my body would feel taking that shot at 44. Like, oh, I just don't know if I could hold up like he was doing.
So you'll be locked in Monday night when they take on the Niners then?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, that'll be a fun one. Hopefully Gramps gets it dialed in. I tweeted the Colts. I said, listen, I only got 5 of them. But I'm ready to go if you need me. I think I'm 5 short of Phillip. But, you know, 5 more kids later, I don't know if I'll have the same juice in my arms.
Hey, you're about, what, halfway to his family size? I mean, you have 5 or 6
I'm
more.
I'm halfway home. And, I'm halfway home and, like, on a, you know, this I did another video on the Chicago this morning. I'm halfway home. My wife is doing school drop-off, and my 3-year-old just walked in and made an appearance. So I don't know how I'm going to do it when we get to 10, but, you know, we'll be bumping out more film breakdowns. By then, my oldest will be doing, you know, different teams. So it'll be a good positive thing for the family.
Goals.
Oh, man, Rivers. Tim, great stuff as always. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, fellas. I appreciate you guys.
Yep, that is Tim Jenkins, founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite. Yeah, we all love watching, again, in a society where often disparage the old, we propped up the old in the National Football League and in sports because it's pretty amazing. what's going on. How long it's going to last, I have no idea. But I do know this. When we return, we have fresh Caleb Williams audio coming into us from Hallis Hall. We'll also talk about Caleb Williams versus Jordan Love and the rivalry that we are all hoping will be in existence for the next 7 to 9 years or whatever. It's all coming up on Raheem Harrison Grody on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or...
The Raheem Harrison Grody Show, middays 10 to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We got some fresh Caleb Williams audio we're going to play for you here in just a second on Raheem Harrison Grody. Layla has the day off today, but wanted to let you know that the Cubs are indeed bringing back lefty Caleb Thielbar per Jesse Rogers and Jeff Passan. So Thielbar is back at the age of 38. 2.64 ERA in 67 games last season. He joins newcomer Hobie Milner as lefties in the Cubs bullpen. The deal is pending a physical. Y'all excited now, Marshall?
That's breaking news, right? We can call that breaking news?
I suppose. Go ahead.
Yeah, breaking news on The Score, brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. I'll say this. He had a great season, bounce back season last year with a .879 whip. Anytime you got a sub one whip, you're good.
Doesn't go out of style.
But the issue is, after having double digit strikeouts per nine the previous four seasons, that number was down to 8.7. Again, effective, but he's 38 years old, so we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's back. Hobie Milner, your lefties in the bullpen if you're a Cubs fan.
Right. No doubt. So now in Andrew Kittredge, would he land with Baltimore, right? So Kitty's gone. Brad Keller. I don't think anybody scooped him yet unless I missed it. Brad Keller still available?
I believe so.
He may want to be a starter, though.
Caleb Thielbar will be 39 when the season starts.
Oh,
I just want to let you know.
My God.
January 31st birthday.
Drew Pomeranz. I don't know if the Rans is around, but he was part of that as well. So add that to Hobie Milner and, of course, Daniel Palencia, one of the more fascinating guys, I still think. Why'd you do that about Palencia?
Which Palencia are we getting?
Fair. All right. Before we get too deep into
you started me off. Yeah, you started me in there.
I love talking hot stove, but you know what? Let's stay in line with the Bears because we're just getting this from Hallis Hall. Caleb Williams has finished speaking, and we have some of the audio that we think is really important. And I want to start with here. Now we have not heard these. So what?
No, just the first cut.
Oh yeah. We have we've been kicking this stuff around here today. But first, let's listen to Caleb Williams talking about how he has been improving in ways that people can't see.
I've felt this way the whole season so far, is that I've been improving, even if it's in ways that people can't see or maybe feel. You know, when I go back and watch, or when Coach and I go back and watch, we watch, and you know, we can look at things that maybe y'all don't know, maybe the outside world doesn't know, and ways that I've been getting better. And I think the confidence in myself, but also within the offense, and trust with Coach has grown. And so with all of that, you know, the constant mindset of growing, the constant growth that I've had, I think is going to keep growing over time. And it's something that I'm focused on, because it's you know, if I play how I played last, you know, this past game, or, you know, if I play better than that, we got a real shot to, you know, do whatever we want in this league. So I'm going to keep focused on, you know, trying to grow, trying to be better, try to, you know, be my best self.
Now, wait a minute. I don't know. Maybe there was a follow-up to this, but doesn't this need a follow-up? What are the ways in which he's improving that people can't see? Why didn't he give us the specifics on that? What does he mean by that? I'm confused.
I don't know, but I'll tell you this. It's 2025. We see the All-22 just like your coaches do. Like, yeah. What is it?
We don't see it the same way the coaches do. Let's not get carried away.
Well, no. Tim Jenkins made an excellent point talking about when he does his film breakdown, mm-hmm. how he says, this is what I'm seeing. I'm not sure what Ben Johnson is telling him. It's maybe not necessarily the way we're seeing it. It's the fact that we don't know what Ben Johnson's explanation of when things go right versus things go wrong with specific video.
Yeah, so maybe he is saying, too, like, even on a play where something doesn't necessarily work, a lot of things are still going right, the things that we're not seeing.
Or vice versa.
Yeah, I'd like to know more. I want to know more about what he means there. Let's go to another Caleb Williams cut. We have a cut sheet here. We're going to go with, just picking off the menu, says that he's excited for prime time versus Green Bay, and he says that we let him off the hook.
I'm excited for it. I think everybody's excited for it. I think, you know, even D-Jack said it after, you know, the game, is you know, we feel as if we let them off the hook. And, you know, part of that was, you know, us starting slow. Part of that was, you know, the explosive plays and you know, and allowing something that we've been pretty good at, you know, so far this year for all sides of the ball. And so, you know, we want to go out there and play our brand of football, and it gives us the best shot to go win the game. And that's starting fast, you know, playing physical, executing plays the way that we know we can, offense, defense, special teams. And like I said, we're excited to go, you know, showcase that.
He has the exact and proper amount of anger based on what happened in that last game. I mean, I saw him up there. I don't know if you watched Caleb's press conference after the Cleveland win, but you could just tell he's disgusted with himself still about that interception.
You know what I love about it? It's properly channeled anger. It's properly contained anger. Like, he has it in like a sausage casing, and he's ready on Saturday night to let that thing loose. That's how I heard that. Is that not how you heard it?
I don't know. I just thought about sausage casings just now when he said that. And then I thought about the brat stop. So you can see how my brain works.
Well, probably because of the brat stop, I used the sausage casing analogy. That's probably what happened there.
Your analogies hurt me. Because when your analogies, I think about the content of the analogy, not the bigger picture. So that's how your analogies just hurt my brain.
We have a disclaimer on the show. There's a reason.
We do. They did let him off the hook. It's always good to hear those words. Okay, one more cut here. What was our last? Oh, yeah. Because Ben Johnson said, and we played it earlier, Ben Johnson really liked the way his quarterback played against Cleveland, to the point he said, hey, keep doing what you're doing. Hey, whatever you had for breakfast that day.
I said, whatever he ate for breakfast yesterday, we just need to keep doing that on game day from here on out.
And Ben Johnson did not know the answer to the question of, well, what did Caleb Williams have for breakfast? So what did Caleb Williams have for breakfast?
Ben was talking yesterday. He said he asked you what you had for breakfast because you got off to a good start Sunday. So yeah. A legitimate question, what did you have for breakfast?
The morning of, I think I had my matcha, I think I had an omelet, and I think I had one pancake.
Nice.
With cream syrup, yeah.
That's a strong move right there.
Wait, one pancake?
That's the way to do it, man. I do that too. Like when I go out to breakfast, just in terms of watching yourself a little bit, because I'll get a breakfast and I'll get like, you want the pancakes or the whole wheat toast or the this and the, or the fruit? No, give me the pancakes, but just eat one of the pancakes and you know butter it up real good. Slap the syrup on there. So they slather it up.
They put the other pancakes in the doggy bag. Is that how
No, you just give it to somebody else at the table. I think
I like that. I like group pancakes.
What did he say first? Maha.
Matcha.
Was that tea?
Yeah. You don't know about matcha?
I don't know about matcha.
It's the craze that's taking over the country.
It's tea?
Yeah. It's.
Why is it taking over the country? Why do people like matcha?
It's a thing that everybody loves.
Because it's matcha?
Yeah. It's the high. It's like the yuppie, trendy quarter zip, if you will, of in terms of food content.
The quarter zip. I love that.
You're asking.
That is good. I
feel
I
like
love
I have
that.
To. I have to. Bridge
everybody's
you to
got
the,
a everybody's got a quarter zip. Everybody's got a vest.
Okay, so it's Japanese, and like people are upset because there's a shortage now of matcha a lot of places because of how popular matcha has become over the last couple of years.
Shortage of it? Is matcha? It's an organic material. Can't they just grow it?
Well, it's like a powdered green tea from Japan.
Sounds awful, so, by the way.
Well, have you had it?
No, I don't like tea. I'm just not a tea fan, so I won't like it.
Okay, yeah. At least I don't know you're not going to steal my tea. That's good.
not Grody first learning about matcha in 2025. Yes. This is the 708.
Yes.
I am. No, it's really because I was talking about this to some people at Alice Hall the other day. I've tried in my life. I love the idea of tea. I like the way it smells. I like the way people look when they're drinking tea. I like it when English people have tea time. I love everything about tea except for tea. I don't like the taste of tea. The only time I have tea is when I'm sick and I force myself to drink the green tea. I just don't. Cold tea, warm tea, Lipton tea. I don't like any of it.
But you'll drink coffee.
But I love coffee.
Okay.
Yes, that's why I don't know.
That might be the coffee tea divide, right?
So I think I'm excusing myself for not knowing what matcha is.
The same guy who said not Grody first learning about matcha in 2025, and then he says the end of 2025 at that. Like, you wait till the end of the year to learn about matcha.
Oh, and yes, Texter, we too, 708, after listening to Caleb Williams, I immediately heard Dennis Green. Yeah, you can't not. When you hear that, those words put together at any single time, we let them off the hook. There are certain things that just come to people's brains. So A47 says a lot of people make tea too strong. I've tried it in every way, shape, and form. I've tried like the flavors, like they have different flavors of tea that you can get.
Green tea? No.
No, that's the worst, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, my God.
Earl Grey doesn't calm your nerves.
Get your green tea ice cream out of here while we're at it, too. No, I don't want, not after eating raw fish, I don't want your green tea ice cream. Get out of here.
Not
with
an attack
that.
On the sushi spots coming out of Grody today.
Yeah, well, no, that just goes to the first time I ever tried sushi, and this is like 20 years ago. Like a bunch of people built it up to me, like, you're going to Grody, you're going to love sushi. Be the greatest thing. I did not like sushi the first time I had it. So, okay, you like the sushi. Let's bring on the green tea ice cream. No, I am out of here and I'm going to McDonald's.
Apparently, Ted Lasso agrees with you, says tea is garbage water. Right on, Grote. That's from 815.
It is garbage
also,
water.
Mr. Yep. T don't like him too.
Oh, it's going
since
down.
You don't like tea. Mr. T don't like you. How about that?
Grody versus Mr. T. Yeah, 630 matcha is gross. It sounds gross. It really does. Yeah, I don't like it.
I love the prejudging version of Grody.
I love the prejudge.
Yeah, okay. First impressions, if you will.
That's my thing.
But you've seen him in the pictures, right? Where he has the matches, he's walking into the stadium.
Oh, is that what he's got in there?
Yes.
Oh, see, it's all coming together now. He's got a little bit of matcha tea. Grody, did you try tea when you were in London? Great question, and I don't think I did. I think I'd accepted, because that's 2019. I think I had accepted at that point in my life that
you
just
hate tea.
Like, yeah. Like, why keep on doing this? Why keep on ordering it in the hopes? You know what's another thing in my life that is just like that? Cigars. Love the smell of cigars. Love everything. I like watching people smoke cigars. I like the whole thing. I like a good smoking jacket. I like a good cigar bar.
Everything but the cigar.
I don't like cigars. Like, they always look great, and then they're just not great.
Did Caleb sound sick to you? Because A47 says Caleb didn't sound like himself. Is he sick? And I'm worried because, you know, Tyson Bagent did get sick.
Well, you know what's funny about that is, yeah, that's a good point with Tyson having been sick. Last week, when he came up to the podium, a lot of us in the media after he'd spoken, because he was lower energy than he usually is. Like, he was still good Caleb and answering questions like he does, but he sounded like he was sick. And I don't think we wondered out loud, but we talked about, like, as in on the air, but a few of us were like, something was off there. It sounds like he's a little bit under the weather, but then he went out and played like he played. So
that's his Jordan flu game. That's why he was bringing up Jordan. I get it all now.
Yeah, that is. Or maybe, you know what it could be? The matcha. It could be the matcha. Is that what it's called? The matcha? Yeah.
The matcha got tea. Him healthy.
Yeah, the matcha got him, right. It's all about... Okay. Somebody tell me to try twisted tea. Oh, is that alcohol?
Yes.
Oh, man. A different time in my life.
I hope that Caleb Williams is healthy, because we just spent a whole lot of time talking about how the Bears have been healthy with their main characters.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dio. You never became a main character this year. Maybe next year.
Yeah, maybe next year. Hey, man, we're all taking everybody to the next level next year. Those are the things that we're hearing. When we return here on Rahimi Harris and Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
We're in the end game now.
I know. And the end game includes, and I'm so glad that I wasn't the only person who took note of this. What does Ben Johnson think about before he goes to bed? It's an interesting thing.
Is that's not what we're doing?
Oh,
the original plan.
Oh.
We got a little, what we're going to do.
Oh, sorry.
We have an array of things. Because this is what happens when the Bears are good. Everything is fun. And we're getting a lot of the fun.
All right, how about this? We'll see what we could pack in the final segment.
We're doing Avengers, I'm telling you.
The Avengers will occur just for Marshall. But I will let the people know what Ben Johnson thinks about before he goes to bed.
Okay.
Harris and Grody on the Score.
The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rahimi Harris and Grody, middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's Rahimi Harris and Grody. On The Score, we've got Transition coming up in just a little bit. The Spiegel and Holmes show. Spiegel not here today, but I did see Big Ant walking around in the hallways.
Big Ant, not the little one?
Not the little one, yeah. We don't have a little ant. We've got, you know, we got two Tylers, but we don't have two ants. I don't know where I was trying to go with that. Anyway. Anyway,
I enjoyed following you down the path. Where are we going, Gross?
Yeah, I didn't know where I was going. It's Blackhawks and Bull season on Chicago Sports Network. I know that. Visit subscribe.chsn.com to sign up for your 7-day free trial of their all access plan. Over 300 live games per year. Chicago Sports Network, your home stream advantage.
See what they did there, home team.
See what they did. Very, very clever, the folks at CHSN or whoever gets credit for that. All right, we got to get through some cool stuff here. Caleb Williams, you might have seen this thrown around out there. Caleb Williams is saying that he views his offensive linemen as the Avengers, which is pretty damn cool. And as you are about to hear, you're about to, the nicknames of those specific Avengers. Here it is.
Caleb, how would you describe Drew Bellman's place in the offensive success and your success this year?
Yeah, Drew Dahlman is, like I said, I call my O-linemen the Avengers. And so all of them collectively, you know, form a very, you know, formidable team to go out there and go to war with. But Drew Dahlman is, I call Drew Dahlman the Hulk. He's the brains and all of it. But, you know, when he gets out there and, you know, on the field, he's, you know, he's strong as can be, you know, fast and you know, the right guy for the job, you know, for us and my future and our future here. So I'm excited, you know, for that. And I'm happy that he's here with us and with me. And, you know, we're going to keep growing together and we're going to keep, you know, finding ways to help each other out, you know, in this tenure that we have together. Yeah, I got Ozzy is obviously he's not really an Avengers, but Wolverine. I have Doctor Strange as left guard with Joe. I have obviously Hulk as center. I have the Red Hulk as Jonah. And then I have Darnell's Bucky because he has the one arm version.
The Avengers, are you Samuel L?
I don't know who I am. They'll figure that out, but the Bears.
Wait a minute. Can we
Wait, who's Bucky? Is that
Bucky
not
Barnes, the Winter Soldier?
Oh, the Winter Soldier.
Because he only has one arm.
Oh.
That is hilarious, yeah, first of all. Who's Wolverine again? I didn't have my pen out. I should have been writing it down as we go.
So we have Drew Dahlman is the Hulk. Ozzy Trufillo is Wolverine. Joe Tooney is Doctor Strange. Jonah Jackson is the Red Hulk. I missed one of them.
Joe Tooney is Doctor Strange.
Oh, Darnell Wright's Bucky.
Darnell Wright's Bucky.
It's Zapillo is the Wolverine. And I just wrote down a note for myself. Do not make Drew Dahlman angry, because apparently he will turn into the Hulk.
Yes.
I don't want to see a big green muscle man destroying me in the Bears locker
room. Bruce Banner
and
the Hulk are two very different people.
I'm not up on all of the Avengers. Obviously, I know the Hulk. I know Wolverine, Doctor Strange. But Red Hulk, what's the deal
Red
there?
Hulk is General Ross, who gives himself, who turns himself into a Hulk. But it's the Red Hulk. It's a different version.
It's dangerous.
Same types of powers.
Okay, so Jonah Jackson, don't get him mad either, Grody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's like Jerk Hulk, right?
Basically.
Right?
That's Isn't basically it? The Red Hulk. You know, General Ross always trying to kill the Hulk, and then he becomes a Hulk. The irony's not lost on me.
Where does Spider-Man fit in with the whole universe of the Avengers versus the...
Spider-Man has some team-ups with the OG Avengers.
Oh, he does? Okay, because, yeah. You know, Kyler Gordon. I'm just thinking of other guys.
MCU, which is probably what Caleb Williams at his age is referring to, he is knighted as an Avenger on a spaceship during Avengers Infinity War, which is probably the best of the Avengers movies, if I'm throwing that out there.
Okay.
And so yes, he is technically an Avenger. So yeah.
All right. Next on our list of things here, pretty cool. At the end of the Bears romping of the Cleveland Browns, you had Caleb Williams and Myles Garrett meeting up on the field after the game.
Oh, I couldn't let you get it on me, man.
I just needed one more.
Hey, can I get this from you by chance?
Well, you got it, bro.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're a legend. Have a player. Keep going, bro.
Appreciate you. Hey, get that 3,000, bro.
We'll do.
Good luck to you.
Get that 3,000. No. I think you meant that 4,000. Right?
I love
that's Myles
3,
Garrett right there, NFL Films. Myles Garrett and Caleb Williams. Garrett obviously talking about trying to get the sack record. He had 1.5. Myles Garrett complimenting Caleb Williams if you weren't able to discern what was being said there.
What's crazy is he actually went over 3,000 yards in that game.
Maybe that is what he was talking about.
So that he's at, what, 3,150, I believe, for the season. So yeah, he's there. But maybe he didn't mean 4,000 because, of course, nobody's ever been to 4,000
right.
passing yards.
Word's gotten around the NFL.
Yeah.
Chicago Bears have never had a 4,000 yard. Really? One more cut here, and this is what I really wanted to know is, I mean, it makes perfect sense here what you're about to hear, what Ben Johnson thinks about before he goes to bed.
I went to sleep last night just thinking about that trap block that Jonah Jackson had with about 2 minutes left in half. You know, he absolutely annihilates the three technique. And, you know, things like that just put a little smile on my face.
thinking about a trap block before. That's the guy you want as your head coach, by the way. The
Did
guy
you see
that
the trap
thinks
block,
about
Brody?
The guy that thinks about a guard and a trap block.
Did yeah. you see the trap block?
I did see the trap
it
block.
It is filthy.
I will see that though and raise you the sick chip as I started the show talking about by Colston Loveland on that guy right there. The greatest sack man, Miles Garrett.
I like the chip. I'm with the chip.
You're down
I love
with the
that
chip.
The rookie did the chip. But I got to tell you, the trap block, because when you're sitting there
it's
as a defensive
nice.
Lineman and the guy in front of you goes away from you, you know something's coming. You just don't know where it's coming from, and it's too late by the time he gets there.
Oh, yeah. And again, it's just another amazing moment, symbolic of how much better things are, that the head coach of the Chicago Bears gets to go to bed, and what is on his mind is a trap block, not thinking about how do I put out this 6-game losing streak? How do I put out this 7-game losing streak? How do I put out the 8-game losing streak? So these are really nice things for the Chicago Bears. Speaking of nice things and nice people.
We're finally getting nice things.
It's happening. It's happening. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show. It always happens. Today, it will be Lawrence Holmes and Anthony Herron. They join Rahimi Harris and Grody next for Transition on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I went to sleep last night just thinking about that trap block that Jonah Jackson had with about 2 minutes left in half. You know, he absolutely annihilates the three technique. And, you know, things like that just put a little smile on my face.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.